I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, all you motherfuckers.
Politics, politics, humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Pop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hi, my name's Bart. Welcome to show 67, Bart Cop Radio, often heard on Bart Cop Radio Networks, often seen on BartCop.com. All praise to Mark Perkel for making that happen. So today is one of them funny issues. Got so much going on. What we're doing, as you know, we're moving. We do a run to the truck, and then I come back and record a bit, and then we do another run to the truck, and I come back and record a bit. So if you hear me huffing and puffing, don't worry. We're just busy at work like a bunch of bees. Okay, show 67. Got a lot of this, got a lot of that. Got some outrage, got some funny, got some Mike Malloy. Got some comedy, got some Johnny Carson. Let's get right into it. Uh-oh, can't forget the Shadow Chinaco. Always time for a shot of Tinaco, unless there's no time. Okay. You know what reminds me? Yesterday I heard Al Franken. They apparently have gotten AAR on in L.A. now. And so he was having to introduce, every time he would introduce one of his bits, he would have to explain to L.A. what it was like. You know, we're going to do this bit now. This is where we do this and that. And I got to thinking, well, hell, we've been in L.A. for a year and a half. And we've been in Seattle and Mexico City and Anchorage and Seoul and Rio de Janeiro and North Pago Pago and Sweden and the South Pole. We've been everywhere. Bart Cop Radio worldwide. And I'd like to see the young upstarts like AAR getting their foot in a place like L.A. You can do it, boys. Keep it up. Okay. No more time to waste. Big, big show. Let's go.
This is www.bartcop.com.
Test, test, test. Oh, I feel so good. The cat walked all over my board, my mixing board last night. He pushed down some of the buttons or levers or keys or whatever they're called, and I couldn't hear myself talk. And in radio, that's a rule. You have to know what the hell you're saying. But I pressed a bunch of buttons, and I appeared to be able to hear myself. So how about that? Okay. Got a stack of papers here. Let's see if we can't go through them, make some kind of sense. Today is Wednesday, the date that the ignorant monkey lied the State of the Union address. Remember last year we did that thing about the monkey is lying? Thought that was kind of fun, but we just didn't have time for it this year. Moving is a bitch. I hate to move. Okay. From the USA Today, the big headline, Legal Myths, Hardly the Whole Truth, by my good friend Jonathan Turley. Have you heard about the guy who injured himself while using his lawnmower as a hedge clipper and then won $500,000 in a lawsuit against the lawnmower company? Or how about the woman who threw a soft drink at her boyfriend, slipped on the wet floor, and then won $100,000 in a lawsuit against the restaurant? These are only two of the common examples of lawsuit abuses that are fueling the call for litigation reform. They are also completely untrue. Part of the growing collection of legal mythologies that are opening, that are appearing widely in the national media. The national media, once again, is just whoring themselves to please Bush. It is so frustrating, and it's incredibly hard to believe that the entire media is just backing up whatever the idiot monkey says. This morning I'm going through the paper, and the headlines are always like, Iraq a great success. And sure, there's quote marks on it, But does the average person glancing at a headline see that? They see the headline, great success in Iraq, and they think, well, God, Bush was right after all. Thank the Lord he stood by his guns and he kept at it. That's what we needed, a man with resolve. But none of that's true. Bush said it was a great success. The headline in previous times would be, Iraq a great success, comma, President claims. But they no longer say that. From now on, whatever Bush says is the news. Whatever Bush says are the facts. And it's just crazy. And here's another example of it. You can turn on anything on Fox News or CNN or the networks or talk radio, any of that, and they're going to go on and on again about the terrible abuses that are raising, you know, this tort reform crap is what they're calling it. And what they're saying, if a multi-billion dollar corporation finds it cheaper to pay off a few litigants who burned up in their cars or cut their hands off using their product or whatever. See, Bush is pushing this reform, unquote, through to where I think it's $250,000 is your maximum benefit. So if you're the father of 9 kids and you break your back and you can no longer provide for your 9 kids, let's say you're making $5 million a year or even $500,000 a year. Well, here's $250,000. Go to hell. We just don't care. The big, giant, multi-billion dollar corporations have to make millions in profits, and we just don't care who we have to step on because business comes first, and screw the little guy. So how do you get the little guys to vote for this? You lie to them. You lie again and again and again, and you get a goofy-looking guy like Bush. Damn, I wish I'd kept it. I ran into an old Doonesbury while we were cleaning up, preparing for the big move, and they talked about, it's amazing how the Reagan and Bush parallels fit together. Reagan and Bush both are so stupid that some people figure they can't be lying because they don't have the brains to form bad intent. Doonesbury did a thing on this in 84, talking about how Reagan stumbles from one lie to the next, and people think, well, he can't be lying. He must be telling the truth, or at least he thinks he's telling the truth. So in that context, he is telling the truth. So why should we bother to question what he says? Because he thinks, for instance, that no Marines died in Lebanon. Or if Bush thinks that Iraq is a great success, well, then it must be. So why did the evil Democrats bother him with the facts? It goes on again and again. Okay, back to tort reform. Back to tort reform, unquote. Image is everything in tort reform, such as Bush's visit earlier this month to a judicial hellhole, in quotes, in Illinois, where tort cases supposedly flourish. He's made tort reform a priority of his second term, and is expected to repeal these calls in a State of the Union address tonight. It's all part of a well-funded campaign to limit damages against companies and physicians across the country. Horror stories offered by industry groups play to a weakness in the media for you are not going to believe this kind of stories. Of course, it's not surprising that the stories are unbelievable because many never occurred. And again, as long as the whore media is going to lie and they're going to take whatever lie Bush tells them and elevate that to a fact, what in the hell is the guy not paying attention supposed to do? Take the ubiquitous hedge clipper man story. It has appeared in print, on TV programs, in law school classrooms, and in political speeches for decades. Dan Quayle used it in his call for reform, though he reportedly referred to the man cutting his hair with a lawnmower. In reality, the story originated in an ad campaign by the insurance firm Crum & Forrester, which later admitted it knew of no such case. Yet proving that facts should never stand in the way of a good story, it reminds perhaps the most cited example of abuse, the best $500,000 that the insurance industry never paid. Even true stories often prove not to be experienced. Ready? Even true stories often prove not to be examples of bad law, but bad lawyering. Take the list of the wackiest consumer warnings released this month by the Michigan Lawsuit Abuse Watch to show the need for reform. Included are such things as a warning on a toilet brush that reads, "Do not use for personal hygiene," or a sign on a scooter that reads, "This product moves when used." These are not fabrications, but none of these warnings made any more legal sense than they do practical sense. No company has had to warn consumers not to use a toilet brush on their teeth or their hair. Legal legends can be irresistible, even for the most respected newspapers, magazines, and networks. U.S. News and Whore Report owner Mort Zuckerman, who we all know is as big a whore as they come, used the story of the soft drink lady in Pennsylvania in an article denouncing lawsuit abuse. He is not alone. The tale of Amber Carlson and her soda has appeared in countless television and print sources. Zuckerman also cited the case of a woman who knocked her teeth out while sneaking through a nightclub's restroom window to avoid paying a $3 cover charge, and then won $12,000 from a jury. It is also false. Mort Zuckerman is a whore. He makes up shit that is not true and says it's true, and you read it in U.S. News and Whore Report, and you think, well, that's a reputable magazine. They must be telling the truth, and it is all horseshit. Those stories have been attributed to the Stella Awards, the annual listing of loony lawsuits, but the Stella website points out they are both complete fabrications, yet they continue to appear in print and on the Internet. Other examples of fabricated true cases of lawsuit abuse. Here's one. Kathleen Robertson of Austin received $700,000 from a jury after she tripped over her own son in a furniture store. Carl Truman, 19-year-old in L.A., was awarded $75,000 when his hand was run over by a neighbor. The neighbor did not see Truman, who was in the process of stealing his hubcaps. See, it's not true, but they say it's true to scare the stupid. Terrence Dickerson of Bristol, Pennsylvania, was given $500,000 after he was inadvertently trapped in the garage of a house he was burglarizing. Not true. It's just another lie by the whore media helping their president. Mr. Grzynski won more than $1.7 million in a new Winnebago after he put his new motorhome on cruise control at 70 miles an hour and then went back to fix himself some coffee, only to crash on the highway. Now, this is cruise control being mixed up with autopilot. It never happened. When I was in the finance business in the early 80s, they told us that story again and again about the new guy who went to Oklahoma City, so you always got to localize it to make it a little more believable. And on the oh, he was a sand digger, they told me. My bosses were just the racist sons of bitches you could ever believe. I think I told you about my boss before. This was when the Guyana tragedy occurred, Jamestown, whatever that was, the whoever that San Francisco guy was down in Guyana. He said, Bart, did you call that guy who was late on his payment? And I said, yes, sir, but they don't allow personal calls at work. It has to be a family emergency. And he said, will you get on the phone? He said, give me the damn phone. I'll show you how to do it. So he dials the number, and he says, excuse me, I got to talk to Mr. Johnson. And they said, is this an emergency? And he said, you bet it is. And they said, can we ask what the nature of the emergency is? And he said, a relative of his has committed suicide in Guyana, and we need to notify him. I saw it myself. This is my boss using my phone at my desk. And the guy comes to the phone and he says, listen, you better get your ass down here with a payment or we're going to foreclose on your house. This is what business does. This is what they can do because they can. But anyway, more of these lawsuits that Bush is going to cite tonight, they never happen. And as long as, you know, Bush has never had to pay a price for lying the last State of the Union address. So why should he come clean and tell the truth this time? There's no incentive to tell the truth if you didn't have to pay a price for lying the last time. So that lying monkey is going to get up there and go on and on about tort reform and how we need to reduce Social Security. We don't need to do his own party. Republicans are fighting him on this because they're saying, Mr. President, they're being polite. You're misinterpreting the facts. You know, they're giving him a bunch of that. But Bush is just lying. He wants to put as many trillions as he can in the hands of Wall Street people to get Wall Street votes, to privatize this stuff. They can't make any money if the government's... Think how we don't have to pay any kind of broker's fees, assuming I'm not getting Social Security. I don't know. I hopefully will live to see some Social Security. But when you finally get it, you don't pay a broker for that. It just shows up in the mail. But if it's privatized, now you got to deal with Charles Schwab or American Express or, you know, Morgan Stanley, one of these crooks that have again and again and again have had to pay $100 million fines for lying, cheating, stealing, misrepresenting. That's where Bush wants your money to go. Think if you had your money at Enron, what the hell are you going to do? And also, when they talk about people know more how to invest their money, well, who the hell says? What are you going to do when you turn 65 and you've got $140 in your retirement account instead of a regular, what I don't even know what Social Security is these days, $800 or $1,000 or $1,200, I have no clue. But when you retire, instead of getting $1,000 a month guaranteed, you got $140 to last you the rest of your life. Then what are you going to do? Then the Republicans are going to stand there and say, you idiot, you invested wrong. And another thing about this damn stock market, as you know, I know nothing about the stock market. But I'll tell you what I do know. It is a zero-sum game. It has to be by definition. There's no way everybody can invest in the stock market and everybody win. It doesn't work that way. This is like a poker game. If someone wins at the poker table, someone's going to lose at the poker table. Every single day you pick up a newspaper, it's going to give you a list of the winners and the losers of the previous day in the stock market. And what are you going to do when you invest in the losers? I bought Microsoft, or AOL, one of them. I had $1,000 like in 96, somewhere in there. And I put it in, I think it was one of them. Anyway, it was either Microsoft or AOL. They were both around $100 and $95 at the time. And now it's worth about $15. So yeah, I lost $800. This is what happens when you invest in the stock market and you don't know what you're doing. Just to think what Bush has done between the war and the economy, and now he's going to rearrange the retirement packages for every senior in America. All these scare tactics we're going to get in tonight's State of the Union, just think what they're going to do when the money really is gone. That son of a bitch has stolen so many billions, and the Democrats just sit there and let him do it. Can you believe these gelding Democrats? So, by the time you hear this, the State of the Union will be long over. But I'm telling you about this, before he even opens his mouth, he's going to lie his entire way through it. And when he's done, the networks are going to go on and on and on about what a great speech he was and how Bush knows what to do. And Bush is a decisive leader who's got the sharpest brain in the history of politics, and he knows just what to do. A little sidebar here. Saw in the paper today that Bob Schieffer, known whore at CBS, is now going to do the evening news. Now remember, this is the same Bob Schieffer, after the 2000 presidential debate, went on and on and on about what a tremendous command of foreign policy the Bush monkey had. That was the debate where Bush stammered and he stood there and said, well, I don't know, but if it's what I said that I believe, then I do, and if it's not, then I don't. He said that again and again and again. When it came time for him to answer a question about foreign policy, he said, well, my time's up. They said, no, Governor, you still got a few more minutes. Well, I'm done talking. Then he'd smile at the camera. And then Bob Schieffer says, oh, what a great command of the foreign policy the monkey has. Bob Schieffer, you're a dirty whore, Bob. You take money to lie to people. That makes you a whore, Bob. Now you're in charge of a network who's already been caught lying once. They've gone from Dan Rather, who screwed up, to a known whore. What is wrong with CBS? Needs to get out of the news business. They just need to go straight programming and just let the other networks do the news, because they have proven themselves to be untrustworthy.
There are patriots fighting the illegal Bush regime that you've never heard of. For the best in anti-Bush photo tunes,
check out
liberalcartoons.com, also featuring anti-Bush bumper stickers and t-shirts.
Click on
izzygual.com for those who care enough to stick the very best. IZZYGUAAL.com.
Visit
thegoddess.org. For progressive politics with a pagan perspective, try the-goddess.org. A Republican's worst nightmare.
Check out
leftwingwackos.com, where the Grand Wazoo knows all and tells much. That's leftwingwackos.com, also featuring great political t-shirts. We're fighting the battle our elected Democrats are afraid to fight. And visit bartkopf.com for the funniest anti-Bush invective on the net. Somebody has to fight back. We're doing it. See bartkopf.com for more information. That's bartkopf.com.
Do it now.
Saw a bunch of things on one page of the U.S. Whore Today. This is February 2th. That would be today's. Today as I speak this, not today as you hear. Oh, they just put so many lies on one piece of paper, on one page, I just can't believe it. Big headline, Social Security central to State of the Union. Addressed tonight to stress challenges and hope. They're not going to give you any kind of analysis on whether or not the president is lying. They're not going to list all of the Republicans who accuse their own president of lying. And of course they're not going to quote any Democrats, because the Democrats are afraid to speak. So all they're going to do is give you Bush's opinion as fact, hoping that you'll go along with the monkey. Seems like it's been a long time since we heard anything about the election abuses. And the counties that had 600 voters, that Bush got 3,000 votes, you just don't hear a word about that. I blame the Democrats once again. Kerry, I don't want to hear you open your mouth one more time. I wish John Kerry would just go away. I don't know how soon his Senate career is over. But Oh, please, Massachusetts, do not vote for this man again. Don't send him back. Don't reward him for going to sleep on the job like Lincoln's drunk bodyguards. Don't do that to us. We got to get rid of John Kerry somehow. And John Edwards, I know he's got that. John Edwards has got that excuse that he was the number two man on the deal and was not supposed to overrule the number one spot. But why in the hell didn't Edwards go to Kerry during the race and say, sir, you're blowing it. I know you're at the top of this ticket, but we don't have a chance in hell of losing as long as you lay down like you're doing. So we've got the newspaper backing up the lying monkey. They're going to do whatever they can to cover his mistakes. And remember, they continue to do this to the, I read this today. I just didn't have time to get into it. But they, about, it was this morning, 9 or 10 o'clock this morning, they used the past tense to explain what Bush said in his State of the Union. This is roughly 12 hours before he opens his whore mouth in the USA Today, or it could have been online, I forget. Damn, I wish I'd have saved it. But they used the past tense to explain what Bush said in his State of the Union address. So it doesn't matter what he says. He can get up there and say anything. The transcript you're going to read in tomorrow's paper is going to be what he intended to say. And no politician in America has ever had that kind of carte blanche to screw up, and they'll correct it for him the next day. I've never seen that before. I imagine when the monkey goes, well, they'll probably continue to do it for all Republicans, but they would never do that for a Democrat. Remember with Al Gore, they just flat out made shit up. The Love Canal and the I Invented the Internet, they just made up those lies and hammered them home again and again and again. And even when they were proven false, they said, oh, well, he probably would have meant to say that if he'd have thought about it. They just came up with one of those, and then they closed the subject. That was a whole lot of the New York Times was a big part of that. The New York Whore Times is as bad as any paper in the country. Barcop.com has never made the mistakes that the New York Whore Times has made, and I'm proud of that. Well, I shouldn't be. I'm just one guy in a tequila treehouse trying to do his job. The New York Whore Times ought to be held to a little bit better standard than a tequila treehouse in Oklahoma. Next item, all this on one page. It really pissed me off. Kinda Sleazy Rice begins her new job with a nine-nation trip. Europe, Middle East visits signal fresh start. Now, what a bunch of crap that is. What is this fresh start? Sleazy told the whole world to F off and die. And everybody said, we hate you, Sleazy. Every other, besides Tony Blair and that guy in Australia, every country in the world told him to go to hell. Every country in the world rejected their imperialist, expansionist policies where do what we say. It's like a hold-up man. Like some guy with a mask and a gun jumps out from between two cars and says, do what I say or I'll kill you. That's what the Bush administration has done now, working on their fifth year. And the idea that if Condi gets on a plane, it signals a fresh start. Well, to who? The people she's going to see aren't going to see this as a fresh start. They're going to see this as another hand job from the only superpower in the world that will crush you if you don't agree with them. How in the hell do we get this low? All right, here we go. Same page. Harry Reid says the Democrats won't block Gonzalez. Well, of course we knew that. Bush could nominate anybody. No matter how bad he is, the Democrats are not going to do anything to slow Bush down 1%. All they're doing is standing there with their green light and their rubber stamp, letting Bush do anything he wants. Here we go. Democrats won't try to filibuster Torture Boy's nomination for Attorney General, but will debate his role in developing Bush's policies of treating foreign detainees, Senate Democrat Leader Harry Reid of Nevada said Tuesday. A filibuster would require Republicans who hold a 50... Oh, I circled through it. I can't see it. 50-something to 44 majority in the Senate to win over at least five Democrats or four Democrats plus Jumpin' Jim Jeffords, an independent, to put Gonzalez in office. Reid predicted that at least 25 or 30 Democrats would vote against Gonzalez, Bush's White House counsel, the last 4 years. So here we go with this same old shell game that the Democrats are playing. If someone is up for re-election in the next 2 years, they're going to vote for Torture Boy to please Bush. Someone who just won an election last November, they're free to do what they want because it's going to be a long time. It's going to be 5.5 years before they're up for election again, and they know how stupid the voters are. So the Democrats, I'd like to be in the room one time when they do this. They say, okay, guys, we're going to need to come up with a handful of votes to please the idiot sheep that follow us. So who's safest? Who can get away with it? And I don't mean to attack Barbara Boxer, but that's why they chose her to go after Condi Rice, because she represents California. California's not going to put, I don't think, a Republican in the Senate, so it was safe. And plus, I assume that means she's got time before she's up for election again. At recent hearings, Gonzalez was questioned about a memo he approved that said that only the most severe types of torture were not permissible under U.S. and international agreements. And another memo he wrote that described parts of the Geneva Conventions on the treatment of POWs as obsolete or quaint. Gonzalez told the senators he denounced torture, and they believed him. Now, check out this sentence again. Gonzalez was questioned about a memo he approved that said only the most severe types of torture were not permissible. And by severe types of torture, they count two things, organ failure and death. So if you murder the son of a bitch, then they say you might have gone too far. And I don't know exactly what they mean by organ failure. I mean, sure, we all know what organ failure is, but are they talking about, what, if you pump bullets into it? Say you shoot a guy with a gun, you shoot him three times in the stomach with a .22, and his stomach continues to function. Let's say you take the bullets out. Well, then that's legal, right? Because his stomach, as an organ, continued to produce. And think about, you know, they have this thing called waterboarding, which I don't understand exactly because I'm not the type of guy to get into that. But just think, you grab a guy, you tie his hands behind his back or you handcuff him, and you grab him by the hair and you force his head underwater. Did you ever see the movie The Abyss? One of James Cameron's big budget films before Titanic, but I don't think it made any money. It's a great film. But in The Abyss, they had, you know how I am with a story, this is how I remember it. They had three people in, they're all underwater, and there's three people in this one section. And they had two air tanks, and they had to get to the other section, which is, let's say, 50 or 100 yards away. So they had to swim 100 yards underwater, and one of them couldn't breathe. So they came up with the plan, tell you what, we're going to let the woman die, and when we get to the other side, where there's more air, we're going to do mouth-to-mouth, and we're going to do chest suppressions, whatever that's called. And we've got a really good likelihood of bringing her back. We got like a 9 out of 10 of bringing her back because it's going to be cold water, you know, cold water in the lungs somehow, yeah, this and that. And so that's what they did. So in the movie, it worked perfectly. By the time they got to the other place and they beat her on her chest well and they breathed into her and they got her back among the living. So what that means is Gonzalez memo here, what that means, you can hold, you get 10 suspects there, and you hold one of them's head underwater until he dies. Once he's dead, you shock him a couple of times, you give him mouth-to-mouth, you do some chest compressions, and then he starts coughing up water. And then you slap him around for a while, maybe he sticks some cigarettes in his neck, and then stick his face underwater again. And after 15 or 20 of those, as long as the guy comes back, you just keep doing this again and again. Now, the other 9 are standing there watching this. I mean, oh, Christ, just imagine yourself in that position. Just imagine what it would be like to be captured by Bush's torturers and you've done nothing wrong. You're herding some sheep in Afghanistan or you're walking down the street in Baghdad and someone doesn't like that look on your face and all of a sudden you're legally being murdered again and again and again, and each time you stop breathing, they shock you and bring you back just so they can stick your head underwater again and again and again. And remember, all this stuff is legal as long as your organs don't fail and they bring you back. So they can, I guess that means they can gouge your eyes out. I guess that means they can, I mean, your finger's not an organ. They can cut off fingers. They can do anything. They can put out cigarettes on your face. And we're talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cigarettes. They can put out all on the tip of your penis. They can put them out under whatever, on the backs of your ears, on your, around your eyes, on your tongue. I mean, they can do that again and again and again. And after they get done with the cigarette burns, then they just hold you underwater till you stop breathing. Then they shock you, they bring you back, and they start all over again with you. This is America now. This is America under the never-elected Führer, as far as we know. Oh, but John Kerry said he won, so we got to keep that in mind. Kerry's concession gives Bush a lot of legitimacy. We can no longer say, I don't know what rhetorical point we need to stop, but, you know, for 4 years we got to say the never-elected usurper. Now, because of John Kerry's early capitulation, we probably ought not to keep saying that. I read something the other day They wanted to concede that Tuesday night, but Kerry had already gone to bed. So they said, well, we're going to have to wait till in the morning to concede. Meanwhile, there's 500,000 votes in Ohio that were still to be counted, and he was behind by 100,000, so he said, screw it. I didn't want to be president anyway. I got $400 million. Why would I want to bother with that office? John Kerry, why did you do that to us? Why did you mortgage your house to force everybody else out of the Iowa caucus there just so you could lay down on the job? How could you do that to us, John? How could you do that to your country? The entire history of the United States took a hard right turn into torture land when you went to sleep on the job. John, why did you do that? Irregardless of the last two Bar Cop Radio shows where we had to dabble in the ethics of torture when a loved one's life was at stake and the seconds were ticking away and we knew beyond a shadow of a doubt we had the guilty man in our hand. Obviously, I'm not pro-torture. You don't know any Democrats, I don't guess, that are pro-torture. But, oh, the Republicans. Remember, one big reason Bush won, because he knew what to do with the terrorists. And if we just need to close our eyes and let Bush do what has to be done, well, then that's just the price we got to pay to be free. We got to torture people to be free. We got to torture people again and again and again. There's no limit on this. What would it be like to be captured by Bush's torturers and to be murdered 25, 30 times? We don't know if that's in one day or one week or in one month. What if every day you woke up and they brought you into this room and your hands are cut behind your back and they force your head? And why would they use clean water? Wouldn't it make more sense if the object is to torture the guy? Wouldn't it make more sense to use the filthiest toilet in Cuba and stick your face in that again and again and again? Over and over and over and over, and every time you pass out or die, every time you drown, every time you reach death by drowning in this filthy water, they shock you back and they start you over again, again and again and again. Oh, and they're doing this with my tax dollars and your tax dollars. If you make $300 and the government takes whatever, $60, and they take that $60 and they buy handcuffs with it, and they buy cattle prods with it, and they buy cigarettes, and they pay the salaries of these torturers down there. And there's nobody looking over their shoulder. The only recordings come out of it are accidental by the people who just can't stand the idea of what they did. This is where our tax money is going. So Bush can torture these people, and for all we know, they're doing it for fun. We don't know that they're not doing it for fun, but for all we know, because they refuse to allow anyone to see what they're doing, you have to assume that they're doing something wrong. You have to assume that. How can you assume anything else if they won't allow an observer? If they were strictly getting information with uncomfortable positions or loud music or sleep deprivation, why couldn't they let the Red Cross witness that? No. No witnesses are allowed because we can't allow what they're doing to these people to get out. You talk about outrage. I got a feeling what we've seen. Well, they've already said what happened in Abu Ghraib was nothing. They withheld the really good pictures. They only let us see, you know, where the men were forced to blow each other while the girls pointed and giggled. A few of those pictures made it out. They said the really bad ones did not make it out. The films, the videotapes, none of that made it out. The outrage would just be too much. So we've got Bush gone wild, torturing, I would imagine, for the fun of it, because we all know of Bush's childhood pastime was putting firecrackers in the anuses of frogs so he could throw them up the air and watch them explode into billions of pieces. This is how he was raised. This is what forms in the foundation of his thinking. How much fun that is to watch the creature blow up. Well, he's on a bigger stage now, and he's having all kinds of fun, and he's doing it with our money, in our name. Isn't that amazing? Closing out the outrage page, which is page 5A of the February 2th U.S. Whore Today, White House says Chertoff did not okay CIA tactics. You know, another thing about this Abu Ghraib business. Here I go get myself in trouble again, but I don't fault so much the Lindy Englands, you know, that were in the deal. If your superior officer comes to you and says, you've got to break these men, whatever it takes, lives will be saved if you can break them. And we understand the best way to break them is to humiliate them sexually. So this is what you need to do. And then so you do it a little bit, and they say, hey, that was pretty good. This guy, that last guy you put the pink panties on and you had pictures of him blowing his friend, he gave us lots of information, lots more of that. We need lots more of that. You saved lives today, Private First Class England. You did a good job. Please continue to save more lives because your country's depending on you. And they got the flag waving and everything. So she does her job, and then they get caught, and then they hang them. And the judge refused to allow any evidence that the orders came from higher up. Well, we knew he came right from torture boy Alberto Gonzalez, who the Democrats have confirmed to be the attorney general. Torture boy Gonzalez, the Democrats allowed that. It's just so hard to believe that the Democrats would stoop that low. Okay, so the big headline, White House says Chertoff did not okay the CIA tactics. White House denied on Thursday a report that Michael Chertoff, its pick to be Homeland Security Secretary, once advised the CIA on how far interrogators could go in questioning terrorism suspects without violating federal anti-torture statutes. Well, that is a big hand job of a paragraph anyway. Why do you think they're doing this in Cuba? They're doing this in Cuba. They can't possibly violate a federal anti-torture statute if they're not in federal land. How can they do that in Cuba? You can't do it. Can you break the speed limit in Texas if you're in New Mexico? No. Can you break the speed limit in New Mexico if you're in Arizona? No. Can you break the Arizona speed limit if you're in California? No. You can't do it. So why do they even bother with this charade? We've got a torturer going to be Homeland Security chief. We got a torturer going to be attorney general. And we've got the main torturer is the president of the United States who just won re-election thanks to John Kerry and the press. It's almost enough to make you sick. Almost.
Bartkopf Radio. Everybody's listening to it.